I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So the part of the creed we're going to be focusing on this morning is we believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. In our lives, we all make different priorities. We set priorities for ourselves, we set priorities for our family, and sometimes we set priorities for perfect strangers. But we all do set priorities, and it's important. So sometimes, in order to focus on our priorities, we have to set other things aside, right? And I mess up quite a bit when I try to prioritize things. And patience is rough for me. and so, you know, I can teach it, but putting it into practice is another thought. You know, sometimes what needs to be a priority might be put on the side for something that is begging for my attention right now. And so, you know, sometimes I focus on things that are in my face right now, and I don't have the patience to focus and to move toward what I really need to. But what you put as a priority sometimes indicates where your loyalty lies. And so we're looking at a passage where Paul is teaching us that what you live for indicates what is your priority. And so let's look at Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this passage, it talks of freedom. And we do here in our country celebrate the freedoms that we have. And our freedoms indicate that we are free from something, right? And so when we start talking about freedom in this context, what are we free from? In life, we give up something or we stop doing something. If we do that, it frees us up to do something else. So we have to prioritize. Our priorities point us to do certain things and to not do others. If we look back at the passage in verse 15, it says, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Being set free from sin, having freedom from sin, having freedom from a life in disobedience to God, frees us up, gives us the ability to live in obedience to God. So, being free from sin then allows us to focus on living in obedience. And why are we able to do that? How are we able to do that? Well, it's because of forgiveness. It's because of forgiveness. We have been set free from sin through forgiveness. And how do we have that forgiveness? We once were slaves to sin, now we are slaves. Now we are not slaves to sin's punishment. So the punishment that is reserved for those who are slaves to sin is death. It's destruction. It's hell. It's separation from God. But we've been set free by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life. He died on the cross as a pure sacrifice for those that he would call to himself. If we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we are washed clean from our sins. If we repent, we are forgiven. God forgives us. Therefore, we are freed from that sentence of death that comes through sin. Not by our own works, but by the works of Christ on our behalf. We are set free. The wages of sin is death. It talks about that in this passage. I had a friend in seminary who was way smarter than me. And he had this interaction with a professor, and I was like, wow, he's reading far too many books in my mind, but anyway. But he said, I've looked at this theologian nobody had ever heard of, and he talked about the wages of sin, and he said when he's using this term wages in the Greek, that term can be interpreted as soldiers' wages. And so he said, the wages of sin, so the wages for being a soldier for sin is death, right? So if we look at it as wages being for soldiers, and using that term here, the opposite of being soldiers for sin is being soldiers for God, right? So we are set free to be soldiers for God. If we are soldiers for sin, we're living for the now, the moment. We're living for the flesh, the things of this life that tickle our fancy, right? But if we live for God, if we're living for God, we are living for eternity. And that's a concept that's sometimes lost on people, you know? Living for now, and if we prioritize that, we lose sight of the future. We lose sight of the eternal, which comes after this life. What are we free to do? Paul asks the question, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law? And then he answers his own question. No. No. We stop living for ourselves so that we can live for God in obedience to his commands. He has called us to live in obedience to all that he has commanded us. What did he command us? Well, he gave us the Ten Commandments that were summed up in the greatest commandment statement by Jesus. Love the Lord your God with everything, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Right? And then they kind of spelled that out. But then Jesus goes further and he commands us to love one another, but also to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have taught you, to all of my commandments. So Paul is calling us to be soldiers for Christ. The second part of what we're looking at today is the resurrection of the body. I don't have a slide for this, so don't freak out back there, right? But 1 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power." The demonstration to us of Christ's resurrection tells us that the resurrection is real. And it's not just for him, it is for all those who have placed their faith in Christ. When we place our faith in Christ, eternal life through resurrection is real. And what are the implications of that? Well, it means that we are adopted as sons and daughters of God, and we are brought to his table as his children, literally. We're made a part of God's family. And then we talk about life everlasting. In verse 22, it says, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." Eternal life. The fruit of living for sin is death. The fruit of living for Christ and his great commission is eternal life, a resurrected body, and eternity in the presence of God. There are people that believe that this life ends when you take your last breath. There are people that have no hope beyond the day that they pass away. We have great hope in the knowledge of Jesus Christ that when we take our last breath here on earth, we begin eternity with God in glory. And that is such an amazing grace for sinners like ourselves. God has shown us grace beyond measure. He loved us when we were unlovable. He called us to himself when we were running away from him. And he adopted us into his family as his children. Psalm 23 says, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Your goodness and love will follow me until I take my last breath here on earth, and then it will follow me for eternity past that. What a thing that is to live for. This is, I think, is the greatest encouragement of the Holy Spirit, is that you have an eternity with God the Father. There is no end for those who trust and follow Christ. So how do we apply this truth to our lives? Sanctification is a process. It talked about sanctification and its end, eternal life, in this passage. Sanctification is a process where we become less and less like our sinful selves and we live more and more for Christ, right? You know, the ultimate end is to become more and more like Christ, and we will be made holy and sinless again. But we live in a world racked with sin. We're surrounded by it. It's been a part of our lives since the day we were born, right? We have sins in our past. We have sins in our present. There will be sins in our future that we need to be forgiven for. As we repent, we are forgiven. But God is calling us to turn away from those sins and move toward righteousness. Of course, that perfection will not come until Christ returns or he calls us home. But we are called to persevere in this life and to follow after the things that God has called us to follow after. So how can we do that? I talk about spiritual disciplines quite a bit, and the three that I'm going to list today is not an exhaustive list, but I think these are very important. They're cornerstones of your growth as a follower of Christ. First is your prayer life. You have to be in conversation with God. You need to be talking with him and sharing your struggles and your pains and your hurts with him. You need to be listening to him speaking into your life, calling on him to say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Relying on him for guidance and for wisdom. And he can also speak to us through the second, which is the study of Scripture. I think this is one of the greatest downfalls of the church, is oftentimes, we do not study the Scriptures. And so it's hard to conform yourself to what it says when you don't know what it says. It's impossible, to be honest with you. And so it's important for us to know God's word so that we will not be led astray. It helps us to grow spiritually, to more and more conform our lives to what God teaches us. And then spending time together in fellowship with other believers, people of like faith. That's number three. You know, we're starting a small groups ministry. Andra came in. So Andra, raise your hand. She's a leader of another small group if you would like to sign up for their group. So we got Andra and Paula and Arvin here and myself. We all have groups that we would love for you guys to be a part of. And we feel like that small group ministry is vital as we grow together and we study together and we spend time together caring for one another, encouraging each other in the gospel and in the truth of God's word. Our spiritual life, our life with God can benefit from that. God has called us to be in community with one another. Right? He's forgiven us and he's called us to live in obedience. He's called us to support one another, to love each other as he loved us, to sacrifice for one another. So, in thinking about those things, you know, where are you in those things? Only you can answer that question. Where are you in your prayer life? Where are you in your study of Scripture? Where are you in relationship with other believers to encourage you and to build you up? Are you encouraging and building up others? Are you living faithfully to God's commandment to love one another? Is your spiritual growth a priority in your life? Have you focused on that? Have you made God a central figure in your life? You know, there's times when I am doing really well. And then there's times where I fall on my face. And it's in those moments that somebody else usually encourages me and builds me back up. And that is the church at work. Francis Chan talked about he did an illustration, and his illustration was a rope that went out one door and out the other, right? And that rope represented eternity. He said, basically, you just pretend that that rope keeps going and going and going, and it sees no end, right? He said, so that rope is eternity. And then he taped off with some blue tape about 3 inches in the middle of that rope. And he said, So often we get focused on that 3 inches, which is representative of our life, and we lose focus on the rest, which is eternity. Right? So God calls us to focus on eternity. He calls us to focus on our relationship with Him so that at the end of that 3-inch piece of rope, that we will be able to continue. He's called us to live obediently to Him. So that we get to partake in that eternity. You know, being obedient doesn't save you. Your faith in Christ saves you, but being obedient demonstrates your love for the God that saved you. Make Him a priority that demonstrates what you live for. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your teacher, Paul, who made it so easy for us to understand that living for you is what you have called us to do. And God, we thank you for those that share the truth in our lives, that build us up in the Spirit. God, we thank you that you have allowed us to approach your throne in prayer without having to seek an intermediary. Lord, we thank you for your scripture. Today, we pray that you would encourage us to grow as we focus on eternity and not what's in our face right now. God, as we call on you to refine us, to build us up, to make us what you have called us to be. which is a body of believers that is on fire for you and teaching the gospel, not just to one another, but to the corners of the earth. Lord, today we just lift up this time to you, and we give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.